6:02, we'll go ahead and start with the work session, and we'll start with principals from Sunnyside. Mr. Grant on his 60th birthday. Happy birthday.
Thank you. So,
looking sharp there.
You like that? Yeah. Good. as expected, my staff and my students are unbelievable. It'll be a nice little party. So I had 600 kids singing. It was nice. Yeah, I want to mention, you see, everybody see the little gifts? I have nothing to do with it. I want to take credit for it, but I mean, if So, we're going to be short and sweet. We had a welcome back. And it's been, as you all well know, crazy. Last 24 months have been crazy. It's every day seems to be getting a little more normal. Except I got Mr. Williams' email today about how many cases since Monday? 42?
Something like that.
Yeah. So, and we have grown substantially. So we have 600 kids basically at our school, 14 of them virtual. And if you can see, you know, we have 100 plus at every grade level and 71 staff members. We did as much as we could, a bunch of hiring with people, you know, anybody had a pulse brought in. But that 71 people is, well, I mean, I haven't been, like, this is a strange year for even HR because you're hiring people in December. Yeah. And I mean, we had a parent interview just this past interview, and only one person showed up. So, and it's busy. So, and this is some of the stuff we had from welcoming back our students, some of our staff members here. I have an unbelievable staff. So, the greatest adventure is what lies ahead.
And we're looking at this year as a great adventure.
Yeah.
In October, we recognized our bus drivers. Typically, every year we have breakfast. We have the bus drivers come in, and we recognize them for everything that they do. This year, we did it a little bit differently. We kind of did a little to-go package, and we appreciated them outside, which they were very, very grateful for and very, very appreciative. And we wanted to know that their hard work and efforts don't go unnoticed, because we really do appreciate what they do on a daily basis. At Sunnyside, we have a very strong PTO, very active PTO. They are very active with fundraising and earning that money so it can go back to the students. Last year, we had a, 2 years ago, we had a super large fundraiser with kind of a which helped us do our outside classroom. So they are trying to continue to do fundraising as much as they can. We just finished up a fundraiser with spear gear, some t-shirts, because that was one thing that the families have not had the opportunity to do over the past couple of years, is get some spear gear, whether it's Sunnyside or just Smyrna gear. We had a very successful holiday gift shop. Every year, a parent or a PTO goes out and purchases throughout the whole entire year items from every store from the north of Delaware to the south of Delaware. And they use those items, you know, so that the kids can purchase for their families. And it's one thing that the kids really look forward to and really appreciate, because they have the independence to go and spend their parents' money and buy them gifts. We do a book fair, which is 3 times a year. That also brings in a lot of money for our PTO, which goes back to our students and to our staff. We've done some spirit nights, which were for some local restaurants, where parents have the opportunity to go get dinners, and a portion of those proceeds come back to the school. So that is also pretty helpful. In the future, they're doing something called the Penny Wars, which the students bring in their change. And your pennies count as your positives, your silver coins count as your negatives, and the classes compete against each other. So that has been very successful, and they want to do that again this year. Movie night, they're planning to do sometime in May when the weather gets warmer, outside in our front field. We did that 2 years ago, and it was a great family event. Parents came in by the carloads, and it was just a great night. We had some food trucks and things like that. Also, PTO is very active with teacher appreciation and all of the things that they do, whether it is teacher luncheon or just recognizing them with, you know, surprises with a muffin and coffee, to getting, they actually provided lunch at the beginning of the year. They got a food truck come over, which the teachers were very, very surprised and very, very happy and appreciative for. As far as academics, we have grown a lot. This is just one area where we focused on our proficiency with students for independent reading. So this data is initially from the beginning of October, and it is growth from October until yesterday. So as you can see, overall growth, now the targets keep moving, so the target is never the same. So as the school year goes on, the target moves. So we had an increase in first grade of 14.7%, an increase in second grade of 11%, the largest increase in third grade with around 23%, and then in fourth grade, 5%. And this is typically just October and November, so we're looking to grow exponentially. And this also doesn't focus on the students that were at the emergency level, or your at-risk level, who moved up there. So this is just focused on the proficiency level. So we are heading in the right direction.
So we had a classic book fair, which was very, very successful. And we had our Halloween parade. And Halloween, the Halloween parade was the first day that it felt normal. You know, the kids were having a good time in the classroom. We had a parade. It just seemed like, wow, we're back to normal. And you can see we all dressed up as a zoo.
A zoo.
Yes, a zoo.
And our zookeepers kept us in check.
Yeah. And it's hot. You know, it's hot in the middle of the summer. I didn't realize how hot you would get in those things. We at the next week, Wednesday, we're having the holiday sing-along. And just because of all the restrictions and trying to figure it out, we're basically zooming to the classrooms. The kids are coming out of this grade level, coming out of the gym. They're singing a song, we're doing the classroom, we're having a grade come down. And maybe just, we're planning our reading and math night, or Title I night that's coming up. That'll be after the holidays. Again, Halloween was just a great, great, great time. Kids really, really loved it. These were great. The cones, the people that do the car rider duty, just as cones.
Yes. Parents really appreciated that.
And, yeah.
You know, you just can't use a costume once. They repurpose them for Christmas lights on them, and they're out there.
Yeah. We got deep on gutter here. Yeah. So. There's always Z-Pod around, I'm not going to be old one of my books.
So Sunnyside has some ongoing events that we've done throughout the year for Ronald McDonald House. Sunnyside alone raised over $2,000, which I think cumulatively the district, I believe, raised around $12,000. So Aaron Sukulowski, who kind of spearheads that, went to the Share Night, which was virtual and represented the Smyrna School District for us. We also participated in the Start With Hello, which is the Sandy Hook Promise. So we did a whole Spirit Week themed around that. Students earned tickets for doing random acts throughout the year. They get raffle tickets and then they earn some prizes. They did a green t-shirt little project. You can see up here in the top picture up there. Our morning meetings were focused on being compassionate towards one another. So how do we include others that don't feel included? During Related Arts, they did a team building session. And then the week concluded with a writing and drawing activity, which is basically if you see something, say something, and also how do you help, depending on the grade level.
And between Ms. Muhammad and Aaron, they take care of all of this, and it's always perfect.
And of course, we have our weekend that we're focusing on, and that is with Jesse Rubin. That is a project where the students will pick a goal, they'll focus on the goal, set that plan, put that plan into action, and then they'll reflect on that goal as a grade level.
We have our SRO coming over. I haven't seen Mr. Baker in a while, meeting with a couple kids, talking to them, kind of like a little mentor program. We have Students of the Week that we call out, and our Students of the Month that we call out and celebrate Students of the Month.
We try to recognize as many students as possible, and I know when Officer Baker is available, he comes over and has lunch with the kids, or just checks in on kids that have, you know, made some connections with them. So I know they're really, they're always really.
And this is the Teacher of the Year banquet. I thought Lauren had shot. I mean, when the two invited people who observed from DOE, they were, you know, but there's a whole bunch of other people that do it. They were saying how wonderful she was and very, very nice. And a nice event down there, Dover High. And there we go.
And last but not least, we wanted to wish the best out the town. A special happy birthday.
Very nice.
Yeah. Very, very nice. So I know everybody's super busy, but you should come out to Sunnyside and walk around the school, see everybody. I mean, Thomas Judy was here for the first time for a while, and you know, none of the show there are there anymore. Yeah, so a lot of teachers on the show.
Yes.
Thank you very
Thank
much.
You.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yes.
And happy birthday.
Thank you.
Superintendent's report.
So just a few updates, of course, as we round out December. There's a program in the state called the Test to State program. We investigated it, researched it. It involves a lot of ongoing maintenance by school staff, in particular the students. The districts who have joined it, and we have not, must be partnered with Qualtrics and must open two school sites to testing. Testing must be available at night, including Sunday, so Sunday through Thursday. So of course, while we certainly appreciate the partnership with the state, and we really went into the possibility of a test-to-state program with an open mind, the logistics and the expense of it will make it cost prohibitive for us. The other part of it is that we felt as a district team, the moment we enter into a partnership with Qualtrics, they have quotas that they want to satisfy, and districts who have not maintained an adequate number of staff, but in particular student tests, on a daily or weekly basis, have been pressured by Qualtrics and the possibility of leaving the district if the numbers didn't increase. So we're not in the business of marketing testing for our families. That's an individual choice. We're very fortunate that we have the state center right next door to us. It offers close to 1,000 opportunities per week for tests, and families have opportunities to make decisions on their own. So for a variety of factors, we are not participating, but we continue to monitor the program. It's in its early stages. If some of those restrictions are eased, then it's always a possibility potentially for next school year if we are still mired in this process. Secondly, of course, we know that the governor's initial proclamation, which has become part of an emergency resolution to require all district staff, contracted employees, and volunteers to be vaccinated or undergo weekly testing and either way produce the results. So numbers based on our November count, first month of the program, we were at 73% vaccination rates. The state will mandate the last day of every month as a reporting date. And so we'll run that report on a regular basis, but very pleased with nearly 3 out of 4 folks making that decision. Again, our role is not to pressure them into a decision. Our role is to enforce the resolution and simply require that folks document either their status or their weekly testing result. And finally, some really positive news. As mentioned in prior board meetings, we have hosted 10 UD residents this year who are worth their weight in gold. They are working closely with the teachers and the administrators and providing a variety of necessary supports and interventions. And of course, as Mr. Grant mentioned a little while ago, staffing and hiring are at a critical rate throughout the state, throughout the country. So anytime we can be first in line to get residents to come on board and work in our classrooms with our students and provide extra resources, we're going to raise our hands as quickly as we can. With that in mind, we have partnered with UD going forward and working with Deb and in particular Kelly Holt and our contacts at the University of Delaware. We submitted our partnership grant proposal this past Friday, and we're very excited and hopeful that the residency program looks to have a healthy number of candidates for the 22-23 school year. And again, we want to be first in line raising our hands. There's $1 million grant that's divided among all districts, so we have to wait and see how the results come out. And finally, of course, as we enter into the last few days before the winter break, we know that everyone has been working round the clock diligently to normalize the education for all of our families. We're very grateful for that support. We wish everyone a restful and safe holidays. Thank you.
All right, so I've started out every board meeting for I don't know how long now, saying thank you to our nurses. They're incredibly overworked at this point in time and are doing their best to follow all of the guidance from public health. They're certainly doing the job of more than one person every day of the week. So thank you so much, nurses. One of the cool things they did this month was work with Apothecary to have 2 vaccine clinics at Clayton Intermediate and at North Smyrna Elementary School. Those were last week, and they netted about 100 vaccinations at each event. Many of them students or student age. And then some of them adults, so that's great. You know, but it's open to everyone. All of the different types of vaccines are available. Some get boosters, first doses, doesn't matter. So the second round for that, for those vaccinations is January 12th and 13th. So again, on the Clayton side, and then again on the Smyrna side, the 12th being Clayton Intermediate and 13th being one. So again, they'll do first shots if necessary, and you can always visit Kevin at Atlantic Apothecary right over here on the highway if they need to schedule another time. We are processing COVID leave through payroll. That has been a lot of documentation, but the definitely done in a great organized way, crediting back the time that was taken for illness, illness of a family member, quarantining, et cetera. And that will all be taken care of in sort of rounds, I guess we should say. So round one, we're moving through. COVID leave expires at the end of December. We have not heard of an update so far. So we're just kind of waiting to hear if the state's going to extend that period of time or then, you know, give us an additional amount of time. So we'll have to see with that. Hiring, yes, you're right, Mr. Grant. Hiring is going on everywhere all the time. Had a bunch of positions post yesterday and had will have some more tomorrow. Positions, we've got high school social studies coming up. We've got high school math still, high school physical science. We have elementary positions in a couple of the different schools, some para positions, something for everyone. So don't be afraid to get out there. Hop on AppleTrax and put in your application. We want to talk to you. Subs, you too, kids home from college. Make sure you get you know, give us a call if you've done it before. We'll reactivate you. And if you're new to it, then we'll get you through as quickly as possible because we want to see our kids see your faces come back through the halls as well as, you know, just utilizing you to help us get through this challenging time. So that's all I have for HR this month.
Thank you.
All right, buildings and grounds. Members of our maintenance team are going to be working over Christmas break to work on some projects that are difficult to do when the buildings are occupied. We have some door hardware upgrades over at Smyrna Elementary, working on some floor expansion joints over at the high school. We have a variety of indoor as well as a couple outdoor projects that are going on at JBM, Smyrna Middle, Smyrna Elementary. We have a scheduled and planned power outage at Clayton that's going to affect Clayton Intermediate School on December 28th for about 6 hours. They have to do some upgrades to power lines. So we are cooperating with them for that. Technology, they're continuing to work with the maintenance team, Martell, as well as Verizon for some phone issues that we're having over there. We're trying to, I guess, troubleshoot whether it's the copper line inside the building or the system inside the building, or if there's something happening outside the building. So we're kind of going back and forth with a couple of vendors on that. Continuing to work on improving ClassLink app and addressing issues as they arise. Working on the civil rights data collection for the federal government compliance that we have to do with that. The Guard 911 app. That technology is collaborating with school climate and safety. And we're doing our geofencing for that app at each of the schools right now and getting ready to roll that out soon. Also working with GoGuardian, that monitoring software that we're gonna push out to all of our users in the school district. That's still ongoing, working through getting that ready to deploy. We've also finally have the last, we had a couple touchscreen Chromebooks that were left over or that have not been received yet for North Elementary. So those are all in. So we have all of our devices ready for one-to-one. They are also continuing to work with Qualtrics and provide that compliance data weekly as well as monthly. Transportation, working collaboratively. Yep. With the contractors to ensure that students are getting to and from school safely, and also working with those contractors to fill absences, working with the administrators to fill any of those issues with double runs or triple runs whenever we have staff that are out. They've completed the second phase of training for the transition to the new transportation software, VEO. collaborating with the contractors to continue to recruit drivers and aides for this school year. We currently have two aides in place and working on a few prospective drivers. Child nutrition count, like we talked last time, the food supply chain issue is continuing to present itself, and it hasn't really gotten much better, continuing to be a significant challenge. So they're working on some modifications to our menu choices. We're having to scale back in some areas because of food availability. And we also have some staffing issues, making it difficult to work on some of those complex recipe items that we have. Child Nutrition is looking forward to tomorrow's holiday meal, December 16th. So that's a big day. A lot of our staff get really excited about that. And they're participating in our Harvest for Special Services on the 18th. School climate and safety, the SETED assessments, they're complete in all grade schools. We've identified a few areas that need attention. We're going to be working through those as a team in operations. They are working on the school guard 911 integration. It's underway. And that grant application is going to actually be introduced to all of the admin tomorrow morning at a council meeting. Working on the SEL calendar development. Our safety specialists are completing intruder alert drills, fire drills, and had in-person ALICE training. That started. They completed two schools yesterday, had some great feedback, and has six schools planned for January 2020. The Diversity, Equity, Inclusion, and Belonging Committee is up and running. They had a meeting yesterday. Subcommittee groups are currently working on action goals and metrics to analyze the progress of their goals. The five subcommittees they broke into include student learning, student engagement, community partnerships, school climate, and staffing capacity. They're also working to plan and train for a newly created crisis response plan with staff being addressed, or staff crises being addressed with psychological first aid, and student needs being addressed with care. That's all for operations.
Thank you.
As Mr. Williams shared, we've done a lot of work with both our current UD residents and the planning with the UD team and writing our grant for the funding for next year. Currently, our team is working on ESSER 3 updates. DOE has asked for some information on goals and progress as to where we are, so we are working on getting those updates. The new teacher project continues to work with our secondary administrative team. We met yesterday for a half day. At this point, they've done training with our secondary team. They've done some walkthroughs, and our staff has completed an Ed Insight survey. So yesterday, our administrators dug into the information in the survey and began to set goals for their schools at the building level, set their plan of sharing that with their building teams in January, and we will meet again with TNTP at the end of January. Our step for grade 3 to 6, we have delayed the start of this year. We are still trying to find a few staff members to help us, but we are hopeful to start that in January. As information, our Odyssey of the Mind district coordinator has attended the state level meeting. They are having interest meetings in December and hopeful to have teams up and running beginning practice in January. It is that time of year. We have scheduled our January meeting for the calendar committee to look at the 2022-2023 calendar. And
it would worse be with you.
You can't go a month without talking about
pretty much go every month, right?
Yes.
Budget and the calendar.
Yeah, there you go. And finally, we've been doing quite a bit of work with Wraparound. We have met with the Boys and Girls Club, both at the state and local level, to see how we can support the programs that we have and look at resources and how our district coaches can support our students in the program. And what we're looking at right now, one of the things that was requested was some in-service training. So on January 28th, our in-service day, we will have a half-day in-service training for our Boys and Girls Club staff members.
Okay, so after I put this together, I was involved in a state level meeting where we were talking about some of the new bills being passed, so I'm going to talk about that first. So Senate Bill 169 was passed, and this is the child care licensing bill. The thought process was that people in the state felt we needed to streamline child care licensure early childhood public school program. There are a lot of difficulties with doing that. The licensing process really is about safety, the health and well-being of students, young children, which of course we're for. But there are all of these requirements that come along with it, such as all early childhood care professionals will have to have very specific early childhood licensure training. Now, our paraprofessionals all take the parapro and then are eligible to be a paraprofessional at all different grade levels. The positive, of course, is that it makes them very knowledgeable about early childhood, but the negative is that we are adding this requirement for them, and we have to find time in that calendar to allow for them to go through these trainings. Other things is anybody working with early childhood children, anybody in the building, would have to get a new federal fingerprint done. So at right now, our early childhood is at Moore, so several people would have to go through that federal fingerprint. So there's just these little nuances. And there's also, you know, other requirements about the building and what needs to be done there. But of course, as we know, there's really no funding for early childhood. There's not. So there's an argument that we don't get funding to build for early childhood. And so we feel that there are missing pieces that they put this forward with no money, of course, and we have a lot of concerns. So our organization, the administrators for special ed programming, are trying to request that the bill be pushed back, because if not, it would start January of next year, that everything would have to have been in place, all of our fairs would have to be, yes, it passed.
January 2022 or January 2023?
January 2023. Really, okay. a year, so it passed, and but we're still not feeling like we would have that. And not only do we want to push back, but we also would like to have a committee to talk about your regulations versus our regulations, and you know, what can we say? Okay, we do that, it's just worded differently too. So that's a big one for us. Mr. Williams, you
know, it is. The superintendents have talked about this. And so the noble intent is to streamline child care facility licensure across all areas. The devil's in the details. The issue is that the Office of Child Care Licensing and the Delaware Department of Education don't have a reciprocal agreement prior to this happening. So all of our staff who have been working in the early childhood program have satisfied all of the certification requirements to be an educator. And now within 1 year, if this bill written the way it is, all of those same educators will now have to jump through a whole other series of hoops to become childcare licensed, including new criminal background checks for anyone and everyone in our situation at North. And then the other part of it is it also entails an inspection where they come in and they do a white glove treatment on windowsills, flooring, carpet. So it really is an obnoxious bill the way it's written right now, because we've done everything for years to be aligned with the Delaware Department of Education. It's not the child care licensing office's fault. They are legislative to come in and inspect, so we then have to go through all of them. Woodbridge talked about it. It has cost them six figures to be in compliance for all of the requirements, and they are a tiny district, and there's no fiscal note attached to this bill. And you pointed out, even if there were, there is nowhere in code that allows us to raise funding for early childhood programs. So this whole bill is all out of line, but it's driven by the noble desire to streamline licensing and to make facilities and schools and everywhere a safer place for little ones. They just haven't done any of the alignment pieces, and at the heart of it, there's no funding to be in compliance. So in the face of that, we also have dramatic staffing shortages. And so it's going to be difficult to tell some of our paraprofessionals who are working in early childhood to go through this whole other series, child care, licensure training, criminal background checks. They just raise their hand and say, send me back to the library. You know, I'm just being very frank. It's a bill that has been pushed forward with a noble intent, but with very little attention to the nuances. And when we've asked, DASA has asked, and Koji is working behind the scenes, the task force that was convened involved almost none of the people who work in public school early childhood programs. So the decision making was woefully done. One of those deals that we're tasked with enforcing with very little input in the U.S.
There is also a requirement that substitutes have to have that level of background.
What substitutes, I ask? What substitutes?
Yes. So one of the districts said, I don't want to say we were cited for not doing. It was noted that that was something that was expected.
And we've already gone on record saying, notice page after page after page after page, because we can't find substitutes anyway. We're not going to put up more barriers. That's the way that's been.
So there is House Bill 144. It doesn't do much for us. It's about pre-K funding. It would go from 12.8 children earns a unit to 8.4. It really for us, it's our smallest number. These tend to be the children who need less services. And so, we'll take whatever we get. The other thing that is out there is looking at the foreign language requirement. There is a big push to drop that for that requirement for students with disabilities. In fact, many in my group would argue that it is discriminatory. So you have somebody who has a language-based learning disability, and then you say, you can't graduate from high school unless you take a foreign language and can read and actually write it. So it's so they are taking a look at that as well. So those are things out there. Now we're going to pass about one more. Oh no, I thought someone had a comment about that. So Winter Harvest, we're very excited, is coming this weekend. It says rain day, please let it not rain. Let it be that nice weather so we don't have to move it. It's always difficult when you do that. It is gonna be outside. This is a wonderful opportunity, as I've said in the past, for those who need a little help and support during the holiday time. So we're looking forward to it. I'm sure are already aware, we are expanding our relationship with High Roads school, and they will be High Roads program. And starting January 3rd, they will be opening our third emotional support classroom at Smyrna Elementary. So we're very, very excited about that partnership. We've had lots of professional development going on. This is just sort of a snapshot. The CPI, the crisis prevention intervention, that is ongoing because we are hiring new staff, and we want to make sure they're fully comfortable with de-escalation, and if restraint techniques need to be used, that they're correct. Michael Shaner had worked on aligning the SEL standards to writing IEP goals that are behavioral based. And it's, I'm really excited about this because it's all falling together now. We have been doing a lot of specialized instruction training. Again, continual new staff. We need to make sure they're knowing how to utilize the tools. As I've talked about before, DESA all has just been so much this year because they changed the format where there's the beginning evaluation. Going back to how the state testing was for all students before, this is for the students on the all, the pre and the post. And so there's been a lot of training. I'm sure you've also heard about the mid-year unit count. This is will not be funded this year. So what this is, February 1st, they're going to take a snapshot so that they can see what the fiscal note would be next year. So as you heard from Sunnyside and everybody else will tell you, we've had a lot of growth. And so we are very interested to see what that will mean for us from the 30th versus mid-year. A lot of times it really hits us traditionally in like early childhood. Children come in when they're three, no matter when they turn three. And so we don't have the new units to hire the new staff. But this year, they just keep coming at all times at all schools. So we will be working to just try to capture a true snapshot, and I will report that to you when I know the grid. And the last thing is that we have been working on updating our threat assessment process. So that all schools are aligned they work together in conjunction administrators, counselor, or school psychologist to conduct these, and then we make sure that we have a process that follows through.
Ms. Hudson.
Thank you. For the finance report this evening, just wanted to give an update on the FY22 budget and where we are with that. We did have to submit our budget reduction plan to the Department of Education during the month of December. I believe typically you've seen that as a board as part of our final budget discussion, but the budget allocations from the Department of Education have not all fully processed yet. So the number is fixed. It's just how we choose to apply that reduction in the district. So we'll talk more in detail about that. This year it was $1,131,007, up slightly from last year. And it's based on last year's unit count, which we know we went up one in enrollment and several other districts went down. So our portion of the $26 million went up slightly year over year. And we will be preparing the final budgets for your consideration at the January board meeting if all the elements from DOE process in time. So expect to have a complete package, not many updates, just what you would expect with unit growth year over year and enrollment growth. As we begin working on the FY23 budget with the state, we'll be looking at the DFAC meetings, which are the revenue, specifically the revenue subcommittee work, and they meet on Monday, which will give us an idea where we think the governor's January budgets will go in terms of any operations changes that we've heard from DOE had requested, or any capital funds that may be available above what has already been approved in our referendum. And at this time of year, I believe that the board has been provided with charter and choice data in terms of the number of students in and out of the district and what the cost or the revenue is to the district for the students. So I've attached both the choice and charter data for this year. Choice is about in line with last year, up slightly, but not significantly. And then charter is also up slightly this year from last year. And our two biggest charter school are Providence Creek and First State Military right here in Clayton. So things didn't change year over year much.
Want to go to
executive session?
Yep. It's on in motion
to go into executive session.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. We will return and start our regular meeting. We come out into executive session.
It's the
Okay, it's 7:52. We're going to go ahead and start our formal board meeting. And for those that are on Zoom, if you have it and you plan to sign up for a formal comment, now would be the time to do it. We'll start with Pledge of Allegiance led by Pastor Michael.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Peace.
We'll start with our special recognition for retirement. Sharon Amanda. You can come up, Sharon. Don't hide.
I can't hear with the mask. Here in the first place.
We made a great choice. Thank you.
Brenda Salloway. People look to you. Congratulations on your retirement. Thank you for your years of service. Anything you like to say?
Crazy. I wasn't crazy. I
Bill.
Okay.
Oh, Lord. So, my favorite thing, that's just that everybody was doing this to me. You're killing me, Smalls. You're killing me. Lord has changed in my time here.
Not me.
You were in with the Jaffa Jaffa Dance?
Yeah. Oh,
you have changed. It has been an interesting person. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
We can do it after.
Changes to the agenda?
There are none.
Not yet.
Oh, yes, there is. All right, follow me. The one item there, personnel.
10.2 letter. Yeah. Okay, no changes to the agenda.
Pardon me.
Okay, student board report. Good
evening, everyone, first of all. So last meeting I briefly talked about club fair, which was very successful. Clubs have been successfully meeting since the club fair. I also talked about winter sports tryouts. They have started their season and I'm looking forward to running the student session for basketball. As I'm sure we all know, Unified Football and Varsity Football both made it to the championship. We both made a various game. We had several students sign to their respective colleges today, which is really nice to see. The band and chorus held their annual winter concert, which was a huge success. Tomorrow marks Mid North Info High School, so progress reports will be available on December 22nd, which sucks because that turns up with Christmas gifts. Some senior news, we received our cap and gown for March, and we've been working on senior superlatives and senior quotes. So as we close out on the second half of the school year, it's becoming very bittersweet moving on from high school. And then, this is a pretty short report today, but every meeting so far, I've kind of talked about Huddle, the new grading policy, and the success of Chromebooks. So Huddle has been going very well. Wednesdays are always our Huddle days, so I will always see you guys on the day that we use Pack Huddle. I think it's an amazing implementation to our school's everyday environment. I think that students are enjoying it. Some students have expressed that it feels like a little bit of an interruption to their school day, or it feels a little unfamiliar to talk to people that they don't usually talk to. But I think that they're starting to understand the importance of it and the efforts that are being taken by the district. And I think that as we become more mature, we understand the purpose for these things. The grading policy is extremely helpful and very beneficial. I've heard a lot of people express their love for the new grading system. And personally, I've seen the positive effects on it on my grades. And just within communication with my teachers, I've seen my teachers be able to communicate a lot more, you know, when dates and deadlines, and just about effort on assignments. And then the Chromebooks have been very successful. Ms. Pope often talks about that. We have little to no struggle with them. I haven't heard any complaints from anyone. And yeah, it's just been overall successful implementing it into our classroom. And that's all I really have. It's pretty short today, but I put together what I could.
Thank you.
Bruce, has anyone signed up?
No, ma'am, not overworked.
All right, thank you. And then we have one in person, Kara Courtney.
Hi, Kara. Yeah, come on. For what I'm supposed to do, but my name's Kara. I have two children who attend school in the school district. One is at Smyrna Middle School, one is at the high school. And I'm here today in response to the event that happened in November where the child brought a gun into our school. And first of all, I just want to acknowledge everybody and the work that you do to keep our children safe, not just from guns, but mentally safe and, you know, taking care of our children during this very difficult period of COVID that we've all experienced. So in response to that event that happened, I wanted to speak to you today about a prevention measure that maybe you haven't considered before that I wanted to bring to your attention. I first got involved in this type of work after Sandy Hook happened, which is coincidentally, nine years ago yesterday that occurred, where 20 children were killed. Everybody's very familiar. And I worked with the Smyrna School District some years ago with bringing a prevention program called Start With Hello. That was just Sandy Hook.
Sunnyside still does
it.
So I now also work with Moms Demand Action, which is another gun violence prevention program. We are nonpartisan. We are pro Second Amendment. And one of the things that we do is we have a program called Be Smart. It's an education program. And it's real simple. So basically, it's just SMART is an acronym, and it stands for Secure All Guns in Homes or Vehicles, Model Responsible Behavior Around Guns, Ask About the Presence of Unsecured Guns in Home, Recognize the Risk of Suicide, Teen Suicide, and Tell Your Peers to Be Smart. And I even had a booth at I Love Smyrna School District Day a couple of years ago where I handed out this literature and talked to many parents. And, you know, a lot of the conversations I had were really good, and parents were happy to have the conversation, especially around asking about the presence of homes in other people's houses when you send your children for playmates here and there. It's something people just don't think of. So I think a lot of times we take for granted that people who have guns have common sense and they lock their guns up at home, but we know that's not true. And so my request to you is that sending home literature to the students or the parents of Smyrna School District, or we have electronic versions that could be sent home as well, that just remind adults, parents and caregivers of their responsibility to safely secure any firearms that they have at home. And, you know, I'm not going to pretend that this is the answer to the epidemic in our country, but this is a simple step that we can all take to help prevent losing one of our children in our school district. So I have some pamphlets I can leave with you. I can also send you examples of emails that other school districts have sent out. You know, again, just reminding parents to be responsible, safely store their guns, and also, you know, just to create awareness and to start the conversation. That's it.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. Approval of our board minutes from November 17, 2021.
Madam President, I make a motion that we do approve the board minutes from November 17, 2021, with one item amended, 9.1B, to reflect March 1st,
2022. Second. I have a motion by Pastor Kleiman, second by Ms. Malik, to approve the board minutes from November 17, 2021, with the amendment for March 1st, 2022. Are there any questions or comments? Any questions or comments? All in favor?
Aye.
All have the same right for nay. Hearing none, motion carries. Approval of our monthly finance reports.
Thank you. The packets that you have in front of you today includes the standard information that's provided each month. I believe the first attachment to the agenda are the monthly financial statements from the Child Nutrition Program. The second agenda item included here would be the internal account statement that's provided each month to the board, shows the balances of each school and the special clubs accounts. And then the monthly statements, the expenditures and revenues to date, the expense, tuition, debt service, and match taxes that have been collected year to date, the grant opportunities that have been awarded to the district. I believe I mentioned last month that there were several teachers that applied for the retired state personnel award. Our district was fortunate enough to receive 4 grant awards. Those will be reported next month, but I thought it was nice to mention to you, even though we didn't know at the end of the month. And we have several other teachers that are continuing to put forward grant requests. I thought it might be helpful to just in the future give you an idea of the efforts of the staff rather than just those that are awarded, because it does take time and effort. So happy to see that 4 of at least 6 awards were received this month. And then the standard financial transactions as of 11:30 with a balance greater than 10,000. Any questions?
I'll entertain a motion.
Madam President, I make a motion to approve item 9.2, the monthly financial reports as submitted by the administration.
Second.
I have a motion by Ms. Lloyd, second by Pastor McClymont, to approve the monthly financial reports as submitted. Any questions or comments? Any questions or comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All opposed have the same right. Hearing none, motion carried. School choice 2021-2022 school year.
Thank you, Madam President. 7 choice applications for inter-district transfer and 4 choice applications for intra-district transfer, 1 inter-district choice termination form and 4 intra-district choice termination forms, 0 denied choice termination, I'm sorry, 0 denied choice forms have been received for the 2021-2022 school year. It is the recommendation of the administration that the inter-district students 1 through 7, the intra-district students 1 through 4, the inter-district school choice termination 1, and intra-district school choice terminations 1 through 4 be admitted under choice this evening.
Madam President, I make a motion to approve item 9.3, school choice for the 21-22 school year as submitted by the administration.
Second.
I have a motion by Ms. Lloyd, second by Pastor McClymont, to approve 9.3. School choice for 2021-2022 school year as submitted by administration. Any questions or comments? Any questions or comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All opposed have same right. Hearing none, motion carried. 9.4, school choice 2022-2023 school year.
Thank you. 43 choice applications for inter-district transfer and 8 choice applications for intra-district transfer. No inter-district choice termination forms and no intra-district choice termination forms. 0 denied choice forms have been received for the 2022-2023 school year. It's the recommendation of the administration that the inter-district students, 1 through 43, the intra-district students, 1 through 8, no choice termination and no denied forms be approved under, admitted under choice this evening.
Madam President, I make a motion to approve item 9.4, school choice for the 22-23 school year as submitted by the administration.
Second. I have a motion for 9.4, school choice 2022-23 school year as submitted by administration. Any questions or comments? Questions or comments? All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed, same right? Hearing none, motion carried. 9.5, vacations, war policy 4147, second reading, revision.
Yes, Madam President, no changes from the first reading. Again, just bringing this into alignment. Excuse me, bringing this into alignment. There it is. Yes, with the recognition of Juneteenth as a holiday.
Madam President, I make a motion to approve item 9.5, vacation board policy 4147, second reading revision as submitted by the administration.
Second.
I have a motion by Ms. Lloyd, second by Pastor McCormick, approve 9.5 vacation board policy 4147, second revision. Any questions or comments? Any questions or comments? All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed, same right? Hearing none, motion carried. 9.6, summer schedule board policy 4148, second reading revision.
Again, this appears in its identical form from its first reading. This is to align policy with current practice, given the shifting timelines from summer to summer.
Madam President, I make a motion to approve item 9.6, summer school board policy 4148, second reading revision as submitted by the administration.
Second.
I have a motion by Ms. Lloyd, second by Pastor McCormick to approve 9.6 summer schedule for policy 4148, second reading revision. Any questions or comments? Any questions or comments? All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed, same right? Hearing none, motion carried. Takes us to 9.7, deeper stipends 2022-2024 contract.
So we had worked with the union to create the contract or to ratify the contract for the 2022 school year through the 2024 school year. We have made some changes to the EPR stipends, adding positions and modifying some of the pay. Through translation, some of the items were misplaced in columns and put in different areas. I have reviewed this with the union. They have approved the revision of it to match the practice that the schools have asked. So it's additional clubs and such for their teachers to be able to advise.
Madam President, I make a motion to approve item 9.7, the EPR stipends for the 22-24 contract as submitted by the administration.
Second.
I have a motion by Ms. Lloyd, second by Pastor McClimate to approve 9.7, EPR stipends 2022-24 contract. Any questions or comments? Any questions or comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Same right? Hearing none, motion carried. Takes us down to 10, personnel.
Madam President, I move that we accept item 10.1 A and B, 10.2 A through I, 10.3 A through E, 10.4 A through I, 10.5 A through H, exempt employee contracts as listed, 10.7, 10.8,
10.9, 10.10, and 10.11 as submitted by the administration.
Second.
I have a motion by Ms. Malik, second by Pastor McClymie, to approve personnel 10.1 to 10.11 as submitted. Any questions or comments? Any questions or comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, motion carried. Takes us down to 11, personnel matters, 2022-01.
Madam President, I make a motion to approve item 11.1, personnel matter 2022-01 as submitted by the administration.
Second.
I have a motion by Ms. Lloyd, second by Pastor McClymie, to approve 11.1, 2022-01. Any questions or comments? Questions or comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, motion carried. Number 12, student matter.
Madam President, in regards to student matter 2022-02, after reviewing the transcript and documents, I move that we accept the recommendation of the hearing officer, seeing that the student possesses a significant threat to the health, safety, and welfare of our staff and students.
Second.
I have a motion by Ms. Malik, second by Pastor McClymie, in reference to 12.1-2021-02 to be approved as submitted by administration. Any questions or comments? Questions or comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, motion carried. Take this to number 13. I'll entertain a motion for adjournment.
So moved.
Yes.
We have a motion by Ms. Mallett, second by Pastor McClymie, to adjourn. All in favor?
Aye.
No opposed. Merry Christmas to all, and everybody have a safe holiday. Wow.